For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, welcome to Bring Your Own, a bookish podcast for romance readers. I'm Kayla. And normally, I would be joined by my co-hosts Brandy and Kendra, but they're actually on a plane to Turkey to get a hair transplant. It's a very serious thing for them, so it's just me today. Today, we're going to be talking about the very popular author Carissa Broadbent and what's on her backlist, what I recommend, my rankings, kind of a spoiler-free overview of her different series, and we're going to get into that. But before we do that, I'm going to tell you guys what I'm reading, what I'm drinking. So I did make myself, here, I don't know if you can hear my little straw in my glass jar. I did make myself a delicious chai latte with cold foam on top. It is, what is the temperature outside right now, actually? It is 8 degrees outside, 8 degrees Fahrenheit, that is. Did I, in fact, make myself an iced drink? Yes, I did. Am I really cold? I am. But I also have a water with me. To help me kind of get through this episode on my own, because I'm not used to being on my own. Guys, tell them to cut back from Turkey so quick. I hope their procedure goes super well. And then what I'm reading, guys, I'll be honest with you. I haven't had a great start to the reading year. I am listening to something that I'm hoping like will really help me get back on the right track. But I started out the year with like a 3-star audio read, and then I had a DNF like the same day. So I haven't been having the greatest time yet. But I'm listening to The Wedding Dashers by Heather McBreen, and I'm hoping that that kind of helps a little bit. I'm not physically reading anything at the moment. I'm trying to like figure out what I want to do. I did pick up a thriller by Lane Fargo called They Will Never Learn, which I read in like a day, which is a good sign. So that's great. But now I just need to figure out what I want to physically read after that. But that's currently what I'm reading. Now let's jump into Carissa Broadbent. So who is Carissa Broadbent, you guys? Carissa Broadbent is a fantasy author who writes both romantic fantasy and fantasy romance. I want to take a quick pause here to talk about what is the difference between fantasy romance and romantic fantasy, right? Because you hear those terms a lot, especially romanticy, which is like kind of a new term, I guess, within the last year or two. So fantasy romance, aka romanticy, is a romance and a fantasy blend where the romance and fantasy both play equally strong parts in the story, okay? So like you can't have the book without the romance, it wouldn't make sense, right? Okay, and then romantic fantasy is a fantasy novel with a romantic subplot that is usually pretty significant. It doesn't necessarily have to be, but when we say romantic fantasy, think of like The Cruel Prince, right? That is a romantic fantasy. Now, what would an example be of a popular romanticy? Fourth Wing is obviously a really popular example. Another romantic fantasy, I would say, is the Shepherd King duology, One Dark Window and Two Twisted Crowns. The romance is not the main plot point, but it is a very significant subplot. So I would call those romantic fantasy. Now, like I said at the beginning, Carissa does do both. So we're going to talk about both of those series where she writes both and where you might prefer, if you have a preference. You might not, but some people do. So Carissa Broadbent has two main series. She has the War of Lost Hearts series and the Crowns of Nyaxia series. Crowns of Nyaxia is the most popular one. It is the one that actually got her traditionally published. She started out as indie on both series, and then that one got picked up by a publisher. So you will be able to find that one in stores. Daughter of No Worlds, or the War of Lost Hearts series, is still indie. So you would probably have to order those online if you wanted to find them. Both series are still on KU. So if you have a KU subscription, you can read all of the books. You can also listen to the audios of The War of Lost Hearts if you have an Audible subscription. So let's dive into both of these series. We'll start with the one that she wrote first, which was Daughter of No Worlds. This series actually made my honorable mentions for the best books of 2024. I was surprised by this series, not because I didn't think that I would enjoy it, but because I just don't feel like it's talked about enough at all. Like, when you hear Carissa Broadbent talked about on like Book Talk or Bookstagram, I feel like you usually see the Crowns of Nyaxia series, which is a great series. But I think personally, if there was a gun to my head, I think I would actually pick Daughter of No Worlds. But, you know, maybe that's not totally fair because that series is finished where Crowns of Nyaxia isn't. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But I feel like it should be talked about as much as the Crowns of Nyaxia series. And also, shout out to a friend of the pod, Allie, who is at Literary Delight on Instagram. She was kind of the one who encouraged me to pick it up based on her love of the series. And so, shout out to her. She also has great fantasy recs. She's super nice. Go give her a follow. So, The Daughter of No Worlds, which is the first book in the series, it follows Tassana, who is an enslaved woman with kind of like rudimentary magical powers, and she is used by her enslaver for entertainment and for sex, sadly. When her attempt to buy her freedom kind of goes awry, she flees to this foreign country to persuade these all-powerful magical, they're called orders, is what they are. She goes there to have them train her and help her liberate the enslaved people and all of her friends that she left behind. Okay. So they assign her as an apprentice to Max. And Max is kind of a reclusive wielder with a traumatic past who first resists this responsibility of training Tassana. Their relationship develops as Tassana kind of fights to achieve all of her goals, but the orders also have an ulterior motive for cooperating with Tassana's plans and expectations for how she may repay them. So, that sounds intriguing. You should definitely give this series a try. But to kind of go further into it, this series explores a lot of themes like loss of identity, resilience in the face of trauma, the struggle for freedom, the corruption of power, and the complexities of love and vengeance. The things that I most enjoyed about this series is hands down Tassana as a female character. She's such a powerful character, and I hate to use the term strong, you know, independent female, but like that's truly what she is. She has no shame in the decisions that she makes, and she actively defends her choices, even if it creates conflict amongst her friends or even like her romantic love interests. And so I think that's what I love about her. I feel like if you are fans of other characters like that, like Manon or Anesta or something like that, I feel like you would really like Tassana. Obviously, this also does have a romantic subplot in it. Again, this is a romantic fantasy, so it's not the main plot point, but it is significant. The relationship between Max and Tassana, to me, feels super organic, and the progression of it was just so natural. Max is kind of stubborn, how Tassana can also be, but he's always willing to kind of reassess his positions as the circumstances change. He also has this traumatic and tragic past, like I kind of mentioned, which like, duh, I feel like every male main character in a fantasy has that. But he's not like a toxic person because of it, right? Like he's not like the brooding, rude male that I feel like a lot of people tend to gravitate towards in books or write about in books. He is kind of a recluse and he is resistant to Tassana at first, but he's not like, I don't know, he's never... just straight up a mean person, I feel like, personally. There's also a really small tidbit that I would like to point out that I just find found so interesting in this series. Because T'Sana, in the beginning of the story, flees one country to another, obviously, if you're in a different country, usually there are different languages spoken. And so T'Sana and Max kind of have a little bit of a language barrier at first when they meet. And I don't know, I just found that to be kind of like endearing and fun to read about how they kind of get over that. It's not that she doesn't speak it at all or like vice versa. It's not that they can never fully understand each other. There's just like a really heavy accent that T'Sana speaks with and vice versa that they have trouble communicating sometimes, which I don't know. I just found that like really small tidbit to just make the book more enjoyable and more engaging, because it's like, of course, duh, there's language barrier. I feel like you don't really see that often in fantasies where they travel to different places. It makes sense, right? I loved it. I do want to point out that the second and the third book, I think, are exceptionally dark compared to the first. Not that the first doesn't have any dark themes, but I think that the second and the third one can be particularly hard to get through. And while I enjoyed this series more, I think, overall, than Crowns of Nyaxia, I will say that I think you can tell Carissa's improvement from the series and like things that she has learned from the War of Lost Heart series all the way to Crowns of Nyaxia. And when I say that, I mean in terms of world building and making things a little bit more accessible and easier to understand to the reader. Because, and while it's not like I was completely lost reading this book, there were several times reading the War of Lost Hearts series where I was like, I forgot who this person was. I don't know where we're at. You know, I was confused. Okay, I'll admit I was confused at a lot of parts. However, in Crowns of Nyaxia, I feel like she kind of learned from that, and she actually provides glossaries and maps and pronunciation guides and like things like that that I think were super, super helpful for the reader moving forward. So that is the War of Lost Heart series. Again, those books are all on KU, and their audiobooks are on Audible if you already have an Audible Plus subscription. I hybrid read a lot of these. The audiobooks are really, really great. I would really recommend them. And again, the order of the books is Daughter of No Worlds, Children of Fallen Gods, and Mother of Death and Dawn. All right, that is War of Lost Hearts wrapped up a little bit within 10 minutes.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Let's move on to the Crowns of Nyaxia. So far, there are 3.5 books out in the Crowns of Nyaxia series. I say half because there's a novella, but those books are Serpent and Wings of Night, Ashes and the Star-Cursed King, The Songbird and the Heart of Stone, and then the novella Six Scorched Roses. There is also a standalone novel that takes place in this universe called Slaying the Vampire Conqueror, but I have actually not read that book. That is the only book by Carissa that I have not read, so I won't really be talking about that one that much. But again, it's not necessary at all to read that book to understand the Crowns of Nyaxia series. It's just like its standalone thing, okay? So the Crowns of Nyaxia series is actually planned for 6 books, full-length books. The series is split into 3 duologies, each focusing on different characters and vampire houses with like unique powers and conflict happening. So there's the House of Night, the House of Shadow, and the House of Blood. The first two books focus on the House of Night, and then the next like duology that we're currently in focuses on the House of Shadow, and then of course the next one will follow the House of Blood. What is the series about, or what does it start with? We'll talk about the first book. I'm not gonna get too much into obviously the next duology, but you know, we'll give some spoiler free like summaries. Okay, so it's set in a world populated by vampires, gods, and humans. The first book revolves around this girl named Araya, who is the human daughter of the vampire king, okay? And she competes in this 4-month-long tournament honoring the goddess who created the vampires, okay? Held once per century, the competition contains like 5 different trials that each represent a key part of the goddess's life and ascension to divinity. So like basically like think the Hunger Games, but with vampires, okay? Although this is not a powerless situation, Miss Carissa Broadbent did not copy from Suzanne Collins, okay? That did not... No controversy here on plagiarism, I'll say that. Though only one contestant survives, there is, like, no shortage of volunteers to compete in this this competition, since the winner receives a favor from the goddess herself, okay? So everybody wants that, right? And Araya intends to become powerful enough from this competition by winning it that she'll never, ever need to fear being a human with, you know, blood that the vampires want to suck and have, you know, to kill her, right? Okay. But when she makes this temporary alliance with one of her rivals, she ends up falling for him and starts to question her father's ways again, who is the vampire king. And of course it complicates. It complicates a lot of things. So where the War of Lost Hearts series was a romantic fantasy, this is definitely a fantasy romance, I would say. I don't really think that you can have this book without the romantic portion of it. I think it plays a huge role in this series. I mean, maybe you could just make them friends or something and it would still make sense, but I personally it just would not be enjoyable to me without this romance, okay? The world building in this series felt way more fleshed out to me than The War of Lost Hearts. Like I said a little bit ago, there is a glossary in the back of the book that's really, really helpful in explaining the different kinds of vampires, all of the different characters, the different towns, the different, you know, races of people that are involved, the different gods, right? For example, in this specific duology, they talk about 2 different vampires, and I don't remember the names, but I do know that they're like, you're able to tell them apart based upon the different kinds of wings that they have. Like, for example, one race of vampires has like really like bat-like wings. And then the other race of vampires has like feathery wings, like almost like angel wings is what you would think of. But like they're different. They don't like each other. Okay. Those 2 different vampires, they hate each other. They're supposed to be sworn enemies, right? So that's the first book. The first book is super, super action-packed. I would actually say of the books that are out currently, it is hands down the most action-packed book of like the 3 full-length novels. The second book is a lot, I wouldn't necessarily call it like slow, but it, because the first book has that competition and the second one doesn't, you know, I feel like a lot of people were expecting the same amount of action, but that just like isn't the case in the second book. I personally still really liked it. I think some people were disappointed by it, but I personally really liked it. I kind of liked the little bit of slower pace, and you could just kind of get to see something different besides the competition. I really liked that book. I love that duology, so I would highly recommend it. Then we get the third book, which is The Songbird and the Heart of Stone. It just came out a couple months ago in 2024. And this book follows Misha, who we meet in the first 2 books. I don't want to give too much away about the circumstances of this book because you figure out things in, you know, the first series. And I don't want to spoil any of that for you guys. But like I mentioned, the first 2 books follows the House of Night. This book takes place in the House of Shadow. But I will tell you that it does involve the underworld, aka hell, and a bastard prince. So if that interests you, then I would check out this series. Now, personally, I'll just be honest with you. I think that this third book is my least favorite so far of the series. Not because I didn't enjoy the story of Misha and her love interest, but the thing that was actually really tough for me really was the world building in this specific book. I feel like in the first two books, Carissa did such a good job, but this book was really difficult for me to understand because we were in a new place, the underworld, right? But what was difficult for me was conceptualizing what was happening. There actually is a kind of sort of map in this book that sort of explains what's going on, but I just had a really hard time. When I can't picture something in my head, I just have a really hard time connecting and grasping what is going on, right? So that's why I didn't enjoy this one as much. However, I still really, really loved the love story between Misha and her love interest. I thought it was really sweet. And I also love Misha as well. Her story is, like, to me, the saddest story of all the main characters so far in this series. I love her and I will protect her with my life. Now, again, you know, there are certain aspects of this book that I did not enjoy, but the ending was really great of this one. Obviously, I will be reading the fourth. I am tuned in to this series, so I will be seeing this series through. I also want to quickly mention that there is that novella that I talked about called Six Scorched Roses, which you can read in between books 1 and 2 of this series. I really like this novella. I think it's like 150 pages, something like that. It's really short. It is basically like a Beauty and the Beast retelling. It's probably her most romantic book. And obviously because it's a novella, it's a standalone thing, it is a little bit lower stakes, but even in its own condensed like thing, it still felt really important. And you do see those characters in other books as well. I would highly, highly recommend it. Honestly, if you want to kind of give this series just like a little taste and see, you could actually read this novella first. And then you might be able to kind of like see what this world is about. It is, you know, it doesn't necessarily take place in the exact same places that the rest of the series does, but I still think that it's just like a good introduction if you just kind of want to see. So I would highly, highly recommend Six Scorched Roses. It's a great novella, super romantic, very well done. So that is my Carissa Broadbent kind of overview. Now, again, like I said at the beginning, I do think the War of Lost Hearts series is probably my favorite. But again, that's purely because The Songbird and The Heart of Stone was like slightly a disappointment to me, whereas I think the War of Lost Hearts series, each book is super, super strong. We'll see how I feel by the end of the Crowns of Nyaxia series, but I really love that series. In terms of my top three characters of Carissa Broadbent's like entire, you know, books, I would say Tassana, Max, and then Misha, I think, are my top three. Rain is probably like fourth, who is, you know, the love interest in Crowns of Nyaxia, one of the love interests. But yeah, those are my top three people for sure, for sure. And then just like favorite book overall, that's actually really, really tough. I think the first book in Daughter of No Worlds is so strong, but the second one is really good too, you guys. They're all really good. But if, again, gun to my head, I think it's the first one. I think, maybe, I don't know, you guys, this is hard, but I hope you enjoyed me kind of just chatting about Carissa Broadbent and romantic fantasy and romanticy. There's like a big debate going around about like whether or not we should still be even using the term romanticy. I don't really care. I just say either fantasy romance or romantic fantasy, but like you do you, you know what I'm saying? You do you. All right, guys, I will see you all later in the next episode. Who's going to be here? I don't know. Will it be me? Will it be Brandy? Will it be Kendra? We'll see. But we'll be back for full-length episodes at the beginning of February. Love you guys. Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.